Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo, coming to you live from the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
BT's back in the house.
Oh,
baby.
BT's in the house?
Yes, he's back in the house.
I don't know if those guys worked when we were off or not, but yeah, back in the house, ready to go. It's funny, I do unplug when I'm off. It's the best thing for me. If I didn't do that, I'd come back like Al did this morning. Just for my own well-being, I unplug. So I admittedly do not pay attention to what goes on at the radio station when I'm off. I just don't watch. I don't listen. I don't do anything. However, I did get in the car and put on the radio station for the first time in a week and a half to listen to driving in an hour of Juan Soto talk. So I said, all right, I guess things have not changed.
Still talking about Juan Soto?
It was an hour straight of Juan Soto.
Who was doing the talking?
Al Citron, who I like, but it was just, and I do like Al, I'm not just saying it. I love him, but, you know, one of those things a dog would do.
Yeah.
I love the guy, but what a stiff. No, I'm not doing that.
Okay.
I actually do like Al, but I was like, I mean, dude, come on. Like, we got to do something else. The Yankee fans calling up and saying, I like the team better with plan B. And, oh, we got Soto, and Soto's not worth this. I'm like, we did this 10 million times.
Yes.
And I don't turn the radio on for a week and a half. I turn the radio on, it's the same goddamn discussion.
But for Al Citron, he doesn't have the opportunity to talk about it.
I'm sure he hosted a ton over the last week and a half. I mean, all those fill-in guys. You know?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's what they do.
That I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. I'm absolutely sure he did.
I heard Mac and Mac going at it.
Mac and Mac?
Yeah.
Who?
McMonagle and McPherson.
Oh, okay.
Mac and Mac, the Mac and Mac show.
Okay.
Or the Big Mac show, whatever you want to call it.
That's what they call themselves, Mac and Mac?
That's what I called them. You know, they're
Mix, not Max.
And they Mix Max? Mix? How about...
Be careful.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm going to be very careful.
But it's Mick Monagle and Mick Pherson. They're not Max.
All right, so they're Mix. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's Mick and Mick.
My bad.
I heard I had it on one day, and Sal was hosting with each of the Francesa sons for an hour,
that?
2 hours each. I only heard a little bit of it. I was confused as to which Francesa son was on at each time. I caught it in the middle.
Yeah. Sal, those two guys, Sal's never been more jealous of anybody, the two Francesa kids. It's what he's been trying to be for the last 20 years. It's one of the Francesa kids. Tell me what it's like. What it's like to have.
Oh, boy.
Mike is your dad. Yeah. I mean, boy. The only person who likes Mike more than Sal is Mike.
Oh, good for Sal.
Yeah, good for him.
And giving those kids an opportunity.
So I'm going to bring you this funny, I know when you like when I bring you into my home sometimes.
Yes.
With the holiday stuff.
Okay.
It has to do with you and the wonderful E60 Second Wind about Gunner and Trikafta and all the amazing things that the Boomer Esiason Foundation has done, which they did just a spectacular job. So On Christmas Eve, we decide that we're going to watch it live on ESPN because we're all there. Obviously, we're very close to you. Everybody knows the story. We want to see this. So we've got, you know, my parents, my mother-in-law, my father-in-law, my sister-in-law, brother-in-law, you know, the girls that were, well, Sabrina was still up, but Summer had gone to bed. So we're watching it. It's Christmas Eve. Obviously, I'm been drinking.
Yes. You know?
So we're watching this.
Especially with all those people in your house.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Lucky I didn't find a tourniquet somewhere. we're watching this and everybody's enjoying it. And then it gets to the scene where we're at your golf tournament at Glen Oaks.
Yes.
You know?
And you say that you usually introduce people better than I do. Yes.
Yeah. I say I usually do the introductions. I do it better than Boomer or whatever. So right. It's fine. Stupid little comment. But that's not where I'm going with
this. Okay.
So the guy that I brought to the tournament, my buddy Sal Graziano, also did the bike tour with us.
Yep.
So he was my partner for that tournament. So they do a scan of the crowd, you know? And I see Sal Graziano. So like me in my imbibed state think this is the funniest thing in the world that Sal Graziano's on the TV, right?
Yep.
So I pause, I'm like, oh my God! Like, it's Sal Graziano. I go up to I pause the thing, and he's sitting there with his sunglasses on point, and I'm like, look, Sal Graziano's on ESPN. And I turn around, and like everybody's sitting there like in tears crying about this unbelievable story. And I'm like, can you believe Sal Graziano made it on ESPN? Look at him, hold on a second. Let me text him. Let me get a screenshot of this and text him.
Dude, that is funny.
And then everybody else is like, who cares? Nobody cares.
Yeah.
Like, they're talking about saving lives here and everything else. All you care about is Sal at Glen Oaks.
I mean, that is funny, and it makes me laugh. And I will say that Jeremy Schapp and his crew captured Gunnar's spirit to a T. I couldn't have been happier. The only thing I wish I could have done is, and which I think I did say, but they probably cut it out. The amount of people that have been involved with me personally over the last 30 years.
Yeah.
From Frank DeFord, the National Cystic Fibrosis Foundation, all the way to Bob Bell and everybody in between. All my board members, all the volunteers, all the people that have given. What this does, it shows that everything that we did was the right thing. And the right thing gave kids like Gunnar a chance at a normal life.
Mm.
And that's what I had been selling for 30 years.
Yeah.
And I've, along with many other parents all across this country, have put millions of dollars into trying to get Gunnar to a point where he can become a father, a husband, somebody who's got his own job, his own responsibilities, his own house. And the rest is him. You know what I mean? We got him to the starting gate. And now, since that starting gate was 2018 to where he is today is nothing short of legitimately a miracle.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and we talked about it before it came out, and they did a wonderful job. I mean, it really, not that I expected anything less, but of course, ESPN and E60 and Jeremy Schapp, they did just a spectacular job. But there's a lot of these stories that are ongoing that, you know, don't have the ending or at least the storyline that the CF story has right now, with many, you know, 90% of those with CF reacting positively to Trikafta. I mean, there's so many stories out there of diseases and drugs that they're working on.
They're trying.
Is one of those, and the reason why you used miracle, it's so true. This is one of the ones that, I mean, you went from life expectancy, like
19,
children.
It was 19. Well, yeah, well, when Gunnar was diagnosed, it was 19.
And then, but when you met before, Frank DeFord,
it was 12.
12.
Yeah. So
to now, father right. of two.
And in 1989, when I didn't have kids and I met Frank DeFord and I asked to get involved with him because I heard his story, because he lost his daughter at the age of 8, because I was blown away by him and his ability to stand up there in front of people and talk about it, is what inspired me, because I didn't really have much in my life at that time because I didn't have any kids.
Yeah.
And I was at the top of my game in the NFL, and he said, we'd love to have you because we've never had anybody who's ever had a platform like this. And this is when I was with the Bengals. And then when I got traded to the Jets is when I found out about Gunnar coming down with CF or having CF. And he was the second phone call that I made. And I can hear him crying on the other side of the phone saying, you've been chosen, Gunner's been chosen, however you want to look at it, but you are now in the biggest media market in the world, and you have an opportunity to really elicit change and put a face and a name on a disease that very few people know anything about, including me when I found out about it in 1989.
Yeah, I mean, in the way, there's so many great stories of people that I've met, but the way that people like Gunner, Marge Carfora, Mikey Caruso, Davis, so many others,
Jerry Cahill
have taken this and looked at it in a way of like, I'm going to beat it. I'm going to use this to get every ounce out of me and raise money, and I'm going to be healthy.
They don't take any of it for granted.
So you've got so many just wonderful, wonderful people behind the cause, and it's just...
And even Sal Graziano's behind the
cause. Yeah, that's right, Sal Graziano.
There he is, right there.
Yeah,
he's
right,
in the spot.
Right there on ESPN.
Al Dukes was in the spot, I think, there for a while. Yeah, he was there.
I think I had him believing that his name was in the credits for a little bit. I think I actually had him believing
that. But even like my previous... Every partner that I've ever worked with, no matter where I've been... From the great Greg Gumbel, who passed away last week, to Kevin Harlan, to Marva Albert, to Craig Carton, even Al Michaels to a certain extent, Chris Collinsworth, of course, Bill Cowher, Phil Sims, Dan Marino, Shannon Sharp, Bart Scott, Tony Gonzalez, Nate Burleson, James Brown. All these guys have supported me throughout the years, including CBS, WFAN, ABC. Every Westwood One, of course, Barbasol for all those years, Breitling, Samsung, you name it. They've been with me every step of the way, even the Hebrew Home.
Yeah.
And Dave Pomerantz and the great folks up there have supported me. You know, Doug Wells.
Yeah.
Janelle Garmani, Vinny the Tailor, you name it. They've been a part of it.
Yep.
And unfortunately, this past week, I lost a really... One of our first board members, his name is Dale Jensen, who lived out in Arizona, was one of the initial owners of the Diamondbacks. And I met him back in 1994, 95, when Gunner was just diagnosed. And he sold his company, had a lot of money, and he was one of the most philanthropic people that I had ever met in my life. And he came along at the right time because he was one of the guys that got us off the ground and running. And unfortunately, he passed away this past week, and unexpectedly for most of us who didn't realize that he was battling with cancer.
Man, it's tough, especially this time of year. There's no good time of year, but this time of year, even more so. All right, Boomer and Gio on the Fan and CBS Sports Networks. Go to Robert in Queens. What's going on, Robert?
All right, Gio, Boomer, welcome back. Gio, I love you guys, but Gio, let me tell you something. Yeah. The 2 weeks that you guys were gone, I don't know what you're talking about. There were no talk about Juan Soto, Willie and Jerry.
Hey, Robert, that's not what I said. I said I didn't listen to the radio station for a week and a half, and then I got in the car this morning to drive in and heard an hour of Juan Soto talk.
Oh, because the guys, when you guys were gone...
But let me still make my point that had no information or evidence behind it. No. Don't waste my time with that. All right. Boomer and Gio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
More Juan Soto talk when we come back.
It's the Boomer and Gio podcast from WFAN.
All right. Boomer and Gio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Everything okay? I saw you had a closed door meeting with the brand manager there.
Well, the only reason the door was closed, because that door always stays closed.
Oh, okay. I just thought
there was nothing going on.
But it was indeed a closed door meeting.
Yeah, because the door automatically closes.
Okay, but it's still technically.
But it wasn't like... One of those nose-to-nose, closed-door meetings.
You could have leaned against the door and kept it open. You could have done that. You decided to close it.
I was going to get up and go to the bathroom, but since he came in, I decided to sit here and talk because I haven't seen him in 10 days.
Yeah.
And
just from the other side of the glass with no sound because it's soundproof, it looked like you had some business to take care of.
Yeah. Checklist of complaints.
Definitely.
Checklist of complaints.
There's very authoritative hand gestures going on.
So that's how you guys took that.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I got out of here immediately. I could feel the tension.
I told them how good I thought Willie Colon was and how funny Willie Colon's story was about going to Popeye's down in New Orleans.
Oh, that was awesome.
That was really funny. I thought that was hilarious. And the fact that Willie obviously is from the Bronx, he knows sports and everything else, and I thought he did a good job with Jerry. That's all.
Yeah, but in the beginning
and that's Hurley's call.
Yeah, no, for sure. But in the beginning, though, you were talking about other stuff that was going on, and you know, the whole thing with the kickoff show. And I started, if I was felt awkward with the two of you in here, so I started cleaning up the studio. I don't know if you noticed, I was just taking stuff out of the studio to throw away, stuff that had been here for probably 6 months that I hadn't thrown away. But in that moment, I was like, you know what, let me grab something, give me a reason to get out of here.
I did notice you.
Yeah.
Clean it up. I was like, what is he doing?
Yeah, because I didn't want to just walk out, because that would have been made it even more awkward. But I'm like, hey, if I look like I'm cleaning something out, it's not as weird for me to leave.
Making yourself look busy. I gotta take this to the garbage can.
Because when he walked in and we started talking, you started cleaning, we looked at each other like, what the F is he doing?
Yeah, I had to get out of here. And I didn't want to make it seem like I was like abandoning the situation.
I can make you both or all of you feel very comfortable that there was nothing intense going on at all.
Mm. Okay.
Give it the time. Amount of entitlement that's around here is amazing.
Oh, boy. All right. Very good. CeeLo.
Hi. Brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. Also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. And nobody.
I ran this place, I'd fire half the staff.
I'll tell you. I understand where he's coming from. You know, Jerry was very much here the last couple of weeks while you guys were not.
Yes.
And just witnessing some of the things that go on around the holidays, you know, I think it was a little eye-opening for him. So
I wonder who he's talking about.
I think the list grows by the day, quite honestly.
So I think we should have a meeting. What do you think? It sounds like it's meeting time.
How about an all-hands full staff meeting? How about that? Get everybody in.
It's impossible.
Of course it's impossible. I'm not serious.
That would be great.
Yeah, sure. Why don't you set that up for us?
Okay.
All right.
Yep. 10:01 to 10:10. 9 minutes. That's all I need.
AIS. Make sure you're here.
There's a very simple message that needs to be delivered.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, you have freedom of creativity when you're out there in the bullpen. You have to make sure that you cover, you know, everything that needs to be covered.
Out there in the bullpen.
Right.
And bullpen's empty usually.
Well, but when you are out there. And then the other thing is, get your head out of your ass.
Most
and
important
off
thing.
The phone.
That's the most important thing.
All right. Well, then I'm going to do this kind of in reverse order then, because I thought since you guys have been gone, I'd bring you some of the things that have been happening here on the air while you were gone.
Nice.
But we'll start from the angle of what Boomer just said about accountability and getting your head out of your butt, you know, and all that. How about the sports minutes in your absence?
Okay.
So quite the collection of fill-in characters, mostly from down the hall at the network. Jody Mack, Linnell Willingham, I don't know if you've ever heard of him. Moose even got in the mix along the way, filling in for BT and Sal here on The Fan. But no, we're not playing him. But I heard this one, and I assumed I had heard wrong. But when I went back, actually, no, I had not.
I'm the sports machine, Sean Levine, with an Odyssey Sports Minute. I'm the sports machine, Sean Levine.
Come on.
Who is that?
Sports machine, Sean Levine. And he did that in every minute that aired on the network.
From?
He's a network guy. I've heard his name before as a host, but I've never heard him refer to himself as the sports machine. So that jumped out to me for sure.
I see Dr. Sean Levine.
I don't think he's a doctor.
Or a surgeon.
No, I think you got to put in sports machine.
Yeah. Sean Levine, okay? So while you guys effort that,
one second, that reminds me.
There he is.
There's the sports machine, Sean Levine. That reminds me. It's like this guy I know is out in Arizona, and he texts me. He goes, hey, do you know this guy? Thinking that everybody in sports talk knows one another. And it was similar to this. Yeah. Dave Rooster Bernstein. The rooster.
We had the bull here back in the day.
Right,
Adam Gerst, the neighbor.
It's like AM 1060 Phoenix, the sports zoo with Dave Rooster Bernstein. He's like, hey, do you know this guy? I just met him. I'm like, the rooster, of course.
So,
cock-a-doodle-doo.
Remember the walrus back in the day?
Yeah, the walrus.
Yeah, Andy the walrus.
Andy the walrus.
So the drive with Sean Levine, the sports machine, is out in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Afternoon drive.
Again, I know he does work on the network, but I've not heard
there
him
he is.
Say
that's not him.
Oh,
that's a guy named Carrington Harrison.
Oh, that's...
Yeah, it's another one of our network guys.
Carrington Harrison. That's two last names.
Not for him. Anyway, also David Shepard, who we heard from recently on this show, he had this awkward interaction with Update anchor Anthony Pierno. So yeah, the audience might have remembered that from a couple weeks ago before you guys went away. So again, Boomer, you talk about accountability and doing your job. Well, whoever was editing Shep's Sports Minutes over the holiday, whether they knew it or not, kind of completely hung him out to dry as they were trying to condense it down into a 30-second clip. Here's a sampling.
This is David Shepard with an Odyssey Sports Minute, sponsored by AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Kevin O'Connell has taken Sam Darnold, a 21-35 career quarterback. And
all right, so that's Shep on speed.
Every now and again, I get sped up to. Yeah, I just got a lot of information.
Yes. AutoZone. All right, so now the next day had to go the other direction, as it turned out.
This is David Shepard with an Odyssey Sports Minute. Lamar Jackson in the MVP race this past week, not just...
Oh, my God. That went so much better than this fed up one. He sounds completely blitzed. He sounds so drunk.
This is David Shepard as a sportsman.
I don't know where... I don't know where Fleek saved it. Sue Aller was filling in for Karen Stewart on traffic, and she was very excited about a car fire one morning to the point where she kept telling people, if you need to warm up your hands on this cold morning, there's a car. Go check out the car fire.
Everybody's lost their minds, yes.
Boomer Esiason.
I mean, how could you put that in and just have that wrong?
Boomer Esiason.
Yeah. So that does happen to all of us.
Well, somebody did it to you. You didn't do it.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So that was fun. We had that.
There's more?
Well, jeez. Not sports minute. We'll move on from the sports
minute. Okay.
All right. So let's see here. All right. The unexpected Giants went over the Colts this past Sunday. Completely broke our guy, Chris McMonagle, now that the Giants no longer own the number one overall pick at the draft. So right out of the gate in the wee hours of Monday morning.
Taking your phone calls till, again, 3 a.m. on this miserable Monday. And make no mistake to all you dopes out there, this is a miserable Monday.
All right, so he was all upset because obviously he wanted the Giants to lose and have the number one pick, even former Giants Super Bowl winners in his crosshairs.
I should be pleased with it. I got Sean O'Hara on the, and I love Sean. Anyone connected to any of those, I love him. I think he does a great job. But he's in the post. Now, this is a great win because it's a referendum on what they're doing. A referendum on what they're doing. It's the third win of the 17 weeks they've been playing.
He almost had a heart attack there at the end. It was pretty close. This last one, though, I thought was a little much. And he just took it too far here at this point. Was it this one?
That was the low point of my fandom in any sport. Giants, Yankees, Knicks. The low point of fandom because I hated myself. The Giants made me hate them and made me hate myself.
The low point of his fandom? Like, I mean, he's seen his teams win championships but lose them in excruciating fashion at times.
Yeah,
is
plus
really
he,
a low point of your fandom because they won a Week 17 game and cost themselves the number one overall pick?
No, it's definitely... No, the low point of his fandom is probably that fifth inning in the World Series.
Right.
That would be the low point of his fandom. He only cares about the Yankees anyway.
We're just, I mean, it's like he's completely forgotten about Giants-Dodgers just a couple months ago. Now, Giants lose the Giants. Yankees-Dodgers is what I meant to say.
That's all he cares about.
Yeah. All right, next. This was heard on the fan at one point while you guys were gone.
Ah!
We recognize
that's,
you
Joe, that's
right,
the Joe Beningo scream.
That is. So he was wrapping up with Brian Costello of the Post Saturday morning and taking Brian to task for something he wrote earlier, or actually I should say last week now, about the Jets.
Merry Christmas, you, Happy New Year, all of that. You know I love you too, Brian, but that article, man, I was delirious the other day.
I can't bat 1,000, Joe.
Yeah, well.
All right.
I have to sit here for a while and just, you know, absorb Matt Nagy as my head coach.
Matt Nagy.
See you, Brian.
Oof. See you, Joe.
All right, Beningo, Matt Nagy.
Oh God!
Oh God! He was not happy. They did a half hour, and they were going toe to toe for a while. At one point, it just got a little heated, which was kind of fun.
Yeah.
So there you go. Just
Joe,
a little.
Joe's big with that. All of that.
Yeah,
even though there's nothing else to say, you know, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and all of that. Well, what is the rest of it?
Right.
There's nothing else really.
But,
happy birthday.
Yeah. Right. All of that.
Happy anniversary.
Yeah. Oh, man. We also had, I won't play this one because I just played it yesterday and it's kind of long. Moose took a call from a guy who claimed he had Mr. Met attended his daughter's wedding.
Yeah, that happens. That happened with your nephew.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Randy.
Yeah, he makes a nice little penny on the side or whoever it is. And this guy mentioned like, oh, you know, he's great. He's a big hit. Great temperament. Seemed like an innocent comment, right? When I tell you Moose lost it for a full minute and could not regain his composure and had to go to break. He was hysteric, laughing like you've never heard him before. He just could not get over the idea of, well, of course, the temperament didn't change. It's a mascot. The face is a, it's not real.
Right.
And he just, I've never heard him come unglued like this before. Only maybe two instances, and you know both of them.
Oh, Nadine.
With the cremated.
Yeah, cremated.
In the ashes in the ocean and the water.
Right. Together
and,
forever.
And the other was the Go Buchanan Go on the remote with Rick Bonacorsi.
Right. Rick, are you there?
Yeah. Those are the only two times. He was completely in stitches.
He's probably losing it.
I did hear that the Go Buchanan guy got a couple more victims. A couple people reached out to me on Twitter. I forget. We had so many new people hosting.
Oh, he was just... Yeah, that is his time, man. That's his favorite. That in the summertime, he is just rip-raring to go. Oh, new host, fresh meat. Let's go. Go Buchanan, go.
All right, let me get to this because I mentioned we'll do it last hour that we would do this. So I'm going to give you two clips. One is Aaron Rodgers. The other is Jeff Olbrich. The Rodgers one's pretty quick. And I want you guys to decide which is the worst as far as, to me, lying through their teeth.
Or all right? Being disingenuous.
Yeah, I mean, maybe not. But this was number one. Rodgers asked to sum up his time with the Jets here.
Gratitude, honestly. Oh, it's been the best 2 years of my life.
Short and to the point. Best 2 years of his life is what he claims. Okay, so we've got that. And then this was Jeff Olbrich the other day asked about Hassan Reddick's time with the Jets.
I feel just so honored to have coached him and been around him. This guy is willing to do whatever it takes. He's one of the most unselfish players I've been around. And you just never know what you're going to get when you get guys of his caliber, you know, and sometimes they can be selfish in some ways. And there's none of that to this man.
This guy has sat out half the year.
Yeah. Not selfish at all.
And even when he's not sat out, he's done next to nothing.
That's a bad take on Hassan. And maybe he is internally a good guy. Maybe they like him. Maybe he's good on the practice field. But at the end of the day, his performance on the field says all you need to know.
He's got 9 games. He has 8 solo tackles, 11 total, and half a sack.
Right. So
he's honored to have coached him.
Yeah.
It's definitely Olbrich is worse because I can halfway believe Aaron Rodgers. Because of all the other things he's into.
He said life, not career. I think that's the key.
Yeah. All, you know, with Egypt and the ayahuasca and the darkness and the everything else. So
you got the documentary, you got Inside the, or Hard Knocks, you got all the
McAfee show,
stuff that has become, you know, part and parcel of his life and his, you know, his wealth. So I would just, I can believe Aaron saying that. It's just unfortunate that he blew out his Achilles 2 years ago.
Yes, it was. By the way, the Jets in their season finale against the Dolphins will use their 5th kicker of the season as Greg Zuerlein came back from IR and then had some sort of back issue Sunday in Buffalo, so he's out again. So Greg Joseph will handle the kicking duties if you're into Week 18 and the Jets at home against the Dolphins, who are still alive, to be fair, right? Depending on what the Broncos do at the same time in their Week 18 game. Now,
is Tua playing this week?
You know, I don't know the answer to that yet.
Leaning no.
Oh.
Leaning no, okay. What's
wow.
wrong? What's wrong with him now?
Hip? Really?
Is with it them the hip alive? Is it the hip that he had surgically repaired when he came out of Alabama?
That I do not know.
Wow. Because that, and they're playing at the same time as the Broncos, correct. So it's not like they're going to know. Wow. All right. That's significant, I would say. You guys talked earlier about T. Higgins and his status with the Bengals and, you know, probably headed elsewhere in free agency, it feels like, at this point. So Joe Burrow, I think yesterday, had some thoughts, kind of in general, but seemed like maybe a little bit of a message sent to the organization.
Whenever a great player leaves, you wish you could have found a way to keep him. You don't want to make a living out of letting great players leave the building. You know, I think that's why you got to do everything you can to get those deals done early.
Which they obviously
Joe Burrow,
and then he had the big game and the overtime win Saturday.
T. Higgins is playing under the franchise tag right now.
I guess they could tag him again, right?
Yeah, but you know that would suck for him.
Of course it would.
Because much like I was saying in regards to Brock Purdy, these guys have, and T has been injured. To be fair, he has been injured, but when he's played, he's been a big part of their success when they're going, and they're going as good as anybody has ever gone in the NFL their last 9 weeks. They have been off the charts offensively, and he's been a big part of that, and that's why Joe feels that way. But, you know, in all honesty, if Ja'Marr Chase should be and will be the highest paid wide receiver in the NFL who plays on the same team and is probably going to get a 4-year, I would say, $160 million contract, meaning 40 per, and Joe Burrow's making 55 per, there's no room for a guy like that. Now, if you told me they were going to add Devontae Adams at $10 million, I'd say that would be a hell of a signing for them.
Yeah, they're going to have to either do that or draft a guy.
Draft
they can't keep him.
They got to rebuild their defense, too. That's the other part. It's the other part of it. And Joe Burrow is so good that they were able to use Chase Brown instead of Joe Mixon. And they saved almost $4.5 million between what Mixon got from Houston and what Chase Brown is playing for the Bengals. But what they missed with Mixon is they missed that veteran personality and presence in the locker room.
Sure.
But, you know, he's going to the playoffs this year, and the Bengals may not.
Gio, a guy you've spoken about quite a bit in recent weeks, Boomer as well. So NFL Network's Tom Pelissero said a number of teams are doing extensive homework on John Gruden and to keep an eye on him as this coaching cycle heats up. Jets-wise, Ron,
do extensive homework on him. He's out there every single day. He's had a long career. You know, everybody knows everything about him. And if he walked into your building, you wouldn't want him to leave. And that, I bet you owners are scared of that, too. Because, like, the second, they don't want to like him. They don't want to deal with that. They don't want to have to answer the questions about it. And they're scared.
You're going to have to deal with a month of questioning all the emails and all that other
that's
stuff.
What
and then you'll get over it, and then he'll coach football, and he'll move on.
Yeah, right, exactly. And unfortunately, I don't think anybody looks at it like that, or everybody looks at it like that. You know, they'd rather have the next coordinator. They'd rather have that guy to be able to control it. It's a mistake. And I don't know if this team, this 33rd team, is tossed Gruden out to Woody Johnson and Christopher Johnson. If they haven't, it's a disgrace. Because that is the exact guy you need. The fact that he's available and back in the mix now.
I wouldn't say disgrace. I would just say a mistake. It would be a mistake for them not to interview him. Like, because there's a chance. Like, again, I think Mike Vrabel's number one on the list. Ben Johnson, for certain other teams, may be number one on their list, just specifically because it's quarterback-driven teams like Caleb Williams or Trevor Lawrence. If they decide to move on from Doug Peterson and Trent Baalke down there in Jacksonville, that's a whole other set of circumstances. But here in New York, especially for the Jets, they've got to have a guy that when he walks into that building is going to change. It's got to change.
Mm-hmm. And he's like about the only guy that could do it. Not Vrabel, maybe.
I think Vrabel, and I think Brian Flores could do it.
Yeah.
I think those three guys. I don't think it's bringing back Pete Carroll. I don't think it's Bill O'Brien. I think it's one of those three guys would be the guy that hopefully could work with whoever they decide is going to be their GM. That's another aspect here in terms of the relationship between ownership and who is running the team. And hopefully whoever the GM is going to be, that GM is going to be able to work with a very, I would say, headstrong head coach. Because that's what it's going to be. And that GM needs to go in the background and let the head coach, you know, basically set the course for the team.
You brought up the Jaguars possibly cleaning house.
Yes.
I saw something a couple days ago from this guy, Chad Forbes, who kind of covers the league a little. He's got like over 20,000 followers. I don't know how tapped in he is or what he knows, but I had not seen this. He said Ben Johnson to the Jaguars is the worst kept secret in the NFL.
Yep,
and he thinks it's a done deal and that he'll bring one of the Lions executives or pick his own GM.
Yeah, well, I don't know who this guy is, but, you know, like I keep saying, Ben Johnson's personality does not fit here. It may fit in Chicago. It certainly would fit in Jacksonville.
Yeah, I mean, he's also not going to pick the Jets. That's the bigger thing. You know, I mean, the Jets should if he wanted the job, I would hire him in a heartbeat.
Sure.
But
what did Dan Campbell do when he first got to Detroit? They traded Matthew Stafford for Jared Goff. So Jared Goff is in the mindset of most is like, oh, this is a stopgap guy. And they got off to a really bad start.
Mm-hmm.
But Dan Campbell stood with Jared Goff. And they built around them. They drafted Penny Sewell. They drafted Aiden Hutchinson. You know, they had Amon-Ra St. Brown. And then they drafted Jahmyr Gibbs. And they added another couple offensive linemen. I mean, and look what they have with what many people thought was a quarterback that wasn't all that great. He's having a great season. He's locked in with Dan Campbell. And that's why I was saying that maybe Brian Flores and Sam Darnold as a package deal with Josh McCown as his quarterback coach becoming the OC going to another franchise that needs a quarterback head coach and an offensive coordinator.
We got Ron Rivera interviewing today for the Jet job, so there's that.
All right. We love Ron. Well, I don't want to see him be the Jet head coach.
Right, nice guy.
But we love Ron. Yeah. Ron's one of the nicest guys in football that I have ever met.
Riverboat Ron.
That's right.
And he sat down with us for multiple Super Bowls during the years. he could not have been more respectful, treats everybody the same. Just a great, great guy.
Which Al referenced this morning on the warm-up show.
No, did he?
While also
I missed
saying
that part.
Some of the,
Could you see Ron Rivera, if in fact he has a good interview and everybody feels good about it, could you see him as the Bears head coach?
Well, he's got ties there, of course. As
former
we know.
Player.
Better have the right offensive coordinator there.
Yeah,
then.
Exactly. That's what it really comes down to is that. Like, who's the guy dealing with Caleb Williams? They're going to go with an offensive head coach. They just
left Kingsbury.
That's where I thought Ben Johnson was going. He had that grin on his face a couple weeks ago when they were getting ready to play the Bears. Everyone kind of read into that. I don't know.
Yeah, again, you would think that Jacksonville or Chicago is where he's going.
Yeah.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So starting Monday, those of us who drive into Manhattan are going to be experiencing, finally, the much-dreaded congestion pricing that has been put forth and in place by the wonderful politicians here in New York, headed by Kathy Hochul, the governor, who has got to be one of the least liked people in the state at this point. And I'm fortunate in the sense that, and all of us are, that we can get in to our jobs before 5 o'clock and then only pay $2.25 per day. There are lots of people who aren't fortunate enough to be able to do that, and they're going to be paying $9 a day every single day that they come in here with the car, on top of, if you're coming from New Jersey, tolls that they have just raised as well, right? You guys have to pay both,
yes,
don't you?
That's right.
Right.
You know, what I don't understand is that, you know, the Verrazano Bridge and the George Washington Bridge are part of the interstate system, which is run by the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
And there's plenty of money, gas tax money. There's money that comes out of the federal government, infrastructure. You've heard that.
Yeah.
That spends money on the Long Island Expressway, that spends money on the GW Bridge, which is a part of 95. Like, why are they charging tolls on a bridge that is getting money from the federal government? Why are they charging money on that, and why are they raising that while they're also doing congestion pricing? And on top of that, you have the governor of New York saying, well, it was going to be $15, so I saved you money, so now it's only going to be $9. And oh, by the way, in another political move, I just saved you from surge pricing on gridlock alert days.
Yeah, you know what this is? It reminds me of the negotiations between the NFL and the NFLPA, where they throw out a bunch of crazy stuff out there in the NFL and then pull it back, and they never really intended to bring those things in to make, hey, I did you a favor because we were going to do that and now we're not going to do it. I mean, honestly, that's what it feels like. And I was talking to Andrew Perloff, who does the show over there on Infinity Sports Radio, and I said, well, you know, there's days, lots of days, I listen to the first segment of the warm-up show because I'm in my car still, and I'm coming in after 5 o'clock, so now I got to get into the city before 5 o'clock. And he goes, really? You're gonna do that for, you know, save $6? I'm like, per $6.75 per day? Hell yeah, I am. I'm like, what are you, nuts?
And by the way, you know, if you use Uber, it's going to be charges extra on Uber. There's surcharges on Uber. I mean, it's just the taxes and fees on any sort of ride share is ridiculous. I mean, it's just nonstop. I guess I don't know what they're, you know. I guess the idea is to get people to leave the city or get people to leave the state. I don't know, you know, and meanwhile, the amount of money that they're spending on people who are here illegally is remarkable that we, as the citizens of this state, allow this to happen.
The other part of this, too, is if it's starting at 5 o'clock is the biggest joke in the world. There is no congestion at 5 a.m. in the city. And I think in London, it starts at 8 a.m. or 7 a.m. or something
like
that.
And in London, it hasn't stopped traffic. It just has raised money for the government to spend. I mean, think about the amount of taxes and tolls and fees and everything you pay. If you ever really sat down and looked at it,
you'd want to
shoot yourself. And let's say you're a 72-year-old retired person who wants to live in Garden City or wants to live in Northport or wants to live. And doesn't want to leave the home that they've paid off, that they're still paying the level of taxes for not having kids going to that school system.
Yeah.
You have to move. Like, you generally have to leave where you've grown up basically the biggest part of your life. And that's why people move to Florida. That's why people move to, you know, over 50, living condos associations.
Yep.
They don't want to really leave their house, but they have to because of the taxes that are assessed on the house.
Yeah.
It's insane. And, you know, young people can't even buy houses now.
Yeah, I mean, living here is difficult.
It's great to live here. It's a great place to live. And we often talk about Long Island and everything that it has to offer.
And I'm happy to raise my kids in the South Shore and where I live. And we got a great school district. And I'm happy with my kids in the school district to pay those taxes, to have the level of schooling that they have. But, I mean, some
of
the...
Just so you know, all your taxes, most of your taxes are tied to your school system.
Yeah, yeah.
But then you hope that when you go to sell your house will recoup some of that money because of the school system and because of the way that Sable runs its business.
Right.
But at the end of the day, all of us on Long Island, in New Jersey, up in Connecticut, and maybe Connecticut a little bit better than New Jersey and New York, you know, if you are in your 70s and you are retired and you have had a house for 65 years or 50 years, however long it is, you have to leave your house because the taxes don't meet up with your retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And the upkeep of your house, you know, the outside, you know, painting your house,
landscaping, changing all that stuff.
Well, yeah. I mean, it could be a plumbing issue, right. Could be windows that you need to replace, could be an air conditioning duct or something that goes bad. And next thing you know, you got to leave the state that you grew up and you loved in because the freaking politicians have made it so damn expensive to live here that it's insane.
Now, I was talking to Allie, too, this morning. I was going to have to deal with the congestion pricing. And she was another one who was like, you know, I mean, I'm not going to get up any earlier or whatever. It's just, you know, save the $6. I'm like, do you understand over time, like, it ends up killing you. Like, if you have an opportunity to get in before 5 o'clock, do it, because it's $6.75 a day. That's the difference between paying $45 a week or $45 a month to get into the city. So, I mean, I don't care who you are, what you're making. It's money that should not be coming out of your pocket.
And the way that the governor of this state carries herself and the way she talks and the disingenuous tone in which she uses, and then goes down into the subway where we've had a woman set on fire. We've had another man pushed in front of the one train. And we all see these stories and how dangerous it is. And she was going to put the National Guard down there. I'm like, you got to put an army down there. And it should be at every station. And the fare jumping, the lack of...
I mean, that video of that poor guy getting, and thank God he's okay, getting pushed in front of the train, also had two fare jumpers in it. I mean, it was like the Mona Lisa of how disgusting the subway system is and the issues that they have. Two fare jumpers push on the thing. I mean, I was like, this is unbelievable.
And
she's down there taking selfies with riders, Kathy Hochul, on the day that woman burned alive. On the subway. She's down there going, I'm with some riders taking a selfie.
And how many people question, how come nobody helped this poor woman? Well, did you just see what Daniel Penny just got put through?
Yeah. Yep.
Did you just see the 2 years of his life taken away for trying to do the right thing?
Yeah.
I mean, this state and this city is so ass backwards.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
And is it going to get any better in 2025? I hope it does.
Yeah, I hope it does too, but I think we're locked into our congestion pricing. It was pushed off for a while. I thought it wasn't going to happen, but it's happening on Monday.
I'll tell you, if I were a New Jersey resident and I worked in New York like you guys, I mean, I'd be livid with the uptick in tolls and now the congestion pricing, plus I'm sure the parking, well, unless you can find free parking on the street. I know you pay for parking. I pay for parking. Mm-hmm. It's not cheap.
Yeah. Now, Eddie, is there some sort of, because you guys are already paying tolls, that the congestion pricing is different for you guys? Excuse me, different for you guys, or no?
I don't know. No. Even the old method, the old system that got rejected, we were still going to get a break because of when we came in. But, you know, I think for us, what is it, $2.25?
Yeah, $2.25.
Don't you remember when in New Jersey there was no state gas tax?
I do not recall that.
You don't remember
that? They don't break it down for you. They just tell you what it costs a gallon, so who knows?
Yeah, but what I'm saying to you, that changed like 5 or 6 years ago. You didn't have gas tax. That's why we went over there. It was full serve, and we didn't have to pay tax.
Yep.
Well, full serve is the worst. I would get rid of that immediately. It takes so long to get gas when you
get gas in New Jersey.
I love a self-serve.
You got to wait for whatever.
But I'm just saying. I mean, everything has gone up for you guys exponentially since we've worked together significantly. That's why you guys are always looking for more cash. Don't give me a present. Give me cash.
Cash, yeah.
Yeah, cash is the best present of all time.
Yep, that's what I end up doing for
just
everybody.
Give me cash. Well, you got to send them a little something.
When my Easy Pass renewed, you know, they replenish the funds. Yes. I'm up to $525 each time they
replenish your funds.
Yeah, and sometimes it hits twice a month.
$525.
Sometimes it hits twice a month if you get one of those long months. So it hits on your credit card two charges.
Yeah.
Little pop, pop.
And you don't even see it. That's the thing. Like, it's everything is so automated that you don't even know what the hell you're spending half the time.
Right.
And that's why I love that Fred Warner commercial with his wife.
Yeah. I don't know if you've seen it. Experian, I think it is.
Experian. They talk about how many subscriptions you have. Oh, and Fred says, we got 100.
Yeah, yeah.
You got 100. Yeah, and Experian tells them which ones you need and which ones you don't need. So on top of all the subscriptions, on top of your cable bill, your streaming bill, your internet bill, your tolls, your insurance, I don't know, your gas tax, just keeps going and going and going to a point where, I don't know, somewhere it's going to have to break, I would think.